Hello, everyone, and welcome to 90s Court.
Sup? Sup?
I'm Andy Clodfelter.
I'm Lisa. I'm Lisa Monahan.
And this is 90s Court, also the name of the show that I already said. So, listen, we have a podcast.
Check it out. We are, let me tell you how hard we're winning this intro so far. Like, so hard.
We're crushing this intro, and I want you to know, everybody out there that's listening, this is actually the second take. This is the first time ever that we started an intro, and then I just was like 40 seconds in, I was like, can we just do it again? This was so bad.
I hear you.
And so instead we brought in the energy of being like, well, now we get to make a joke about the fact that we just had a bad intro. Anyways, hey, if this is your first intro into this show, welcome. Welcome aboard to 90s Court. We're glad to have you. So in this show, we like to take two things from the 90s, as you've seen from the title of our show, and pit them against each other in court. Usually just means we talk about them and how great they are, and then usually we then take them to the social media platforms, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the Twitters, and we ask you guys what you guys think, because who gives a shit what we think?
I give a shit what we think.
I mean, you do, but I mean,
I'm the
like,
only one, though.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, that's...
I'm the only one. The cheese stands alone.
The cheese stands alone, and this is the only time that we're gonna care about what you think. Usually it's just you caring about what you think, but now we care about what you think. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Congrats.
So sounds good. We take those things, and we also discuss some other things from the 90s at the beginning of the show. They're not in the title, but they are still a part of the show. I always have to mention that it is part of the show and not us just rambling about nothing.
It's true. I would say they're probably like the Kinder Egg of the show, where you're like, I know there's going to be something inside. Whether or not you like it is not our fault. It's just part of the Kinder Egg, and you have to eat it to get through it. So
I so resent that comparison because of the fact that you could say it is the Wonder Ball of the show, and instead you go with Kinder Egg, which is the non-90s reference version of it, and it makes me sad.
Oh, is it not? Was the Kinder Ball
I have no... Yeah, oh yeah. Wonder Ball was from the 90s. We've actually covered it on the show. But yeah,
I remember covering it. I just don't remember the... Well,
I thought Kinder Egg was a modern day thing.
Shirley.
Oh, well, I wonder what's in a Wonder Ball.
Whatever's in our freaking likes section. Listen, let's talk about our Patreons real quick. Our Patreons,
yes, please, let's do it.
Oh, and we have a Patreon, patreon.com/90sCourt, where we have shows that are dropped about once a month. We have stickers and other good stuff like that to give you, as well as shout outs and personal. I think we have something very special planned soon for Patreon. There's just something coming up, and I'll talk about that
something
here.
Unique,
Andy will talk about it.
Unique something, and delicious.
I don't know if, well, delicious.
I mean, it doesn't have a taste
depending
to it
upon
really
your
at
tastes.
All. Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. So one of the things we do with our Patreon supporters is give them a bi-weekly shout out. So we are giving our judges priority. Judge Troy. Judge Anthony.
What?
Look, boo-boo. I love to dab when I'm doing the shout outs. No one can see my shame. And then we have our bailiffs. Bailiff David.
Pa-pa-pa-pow.
David Alyssa. Pa-pa-pa-pow.
David Alyssa.
Bailiff Alyssa. How are
we doing so far, listeners? How's your sonic experience? Have you noticed that we're both just fucking imploding on the air?
So, like, it's true. And guess what? I almost had a glass of wine before this, and boy, am I glad I didn't, because who knows what kind of shitstorm we would be in.
You would have never
un-derailed.
You would have derailed and just left the track permanently.
Flown straight into space. Bailiff Jake, as always, my dude. Pa-pa-pa-pow. Bailiff Lindsay. Pa-pa-pa-pow. Bailiff Vincent, man. What up, dude? Pa 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 pow. Bailiff Jacqueline. Pa 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 pow. We love you guys.
Pa pow.
Pa pow. So yeah, as always, if you go over to patreon.com/90sCourt, support the show, you'll be able to get shout outs as well as the other goodies I talked about earlier. We love you guys. Thank you for supporting the show.
We do.
You guys are extra special.
Yeah.
Extra special.
Yeah. And hey, I forgot we didn't, you know what, last week I didn't really touch on it because normally we say like, hey, how was your week and everything? Lisa had a pretty rad week, like, that she would have commented on last week, but I just kind of, like, blew past it. So, like, Lisa, like, I know, A, there was, like, an episode that came out of you on this show talking about Saved by the Bell with a bunch of people that we didn't mention. And then also, like, Naders.
True. Yes. So I was on, well, I liked it. They had a small episode where I covered the, I think I'd mentioned it a few weeks ago, but it finally dropped, where I covered the I'm so excited episode of Saved by the Bell. It was so much fun. They are great hosts. It was a delightful experience to work with them. So go listen to that. Well, dot, dot, dot. I liked it on basically any of your podcast platforms. And not this past Monday, but the previous Monday, I think it was May 3rd, I went storm chasing and got like a stone's throw away from a very large EF2. And my footage that I captured got featured on like the Weather Channel, Good everywhere. Morning America. It was everywhere, dude. And I was like,
it was so I many adults, right so many professional adults being like, wonderful footage, Lisa. Do you mind if we feature that on like, and you're like, fuck yeah. Like, and it's funny that they have to legally ask you every time. You're like, yes, 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 yes. Like every time over that.
And but like, no one got mad at me, but a few people were like, you should have sold it. And I was like, I was in the middle of nowhere. I had just enough service to respond, but I got picked up by a broker. And so now every time I have footage in the future, they want my footage. So I'm part of like a stringer, like Nightcrawler, except for tornadoes and not murderers. So if you haven't seen Nightcrawler, go watch it. It's typically on Netflix all the time. Anyways,
I just wanted people to know about that because like every time like I think about that or hear about that or see about that, I'm like, that's my co-host and she's really cool. It's like my big sister. She's cooler. Technically, she is my big sister she's not because we're not related at all, but she is older than me by 4 days. So
hell yeah. Check it, Claude Filter.
All right.
Yeah. So as a result, even though you've got it marked out for yourself, but as a result of me doing my storm chasing thing, we're going to take a couple weeks off. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, we do have to take a couple weeks off. I was going to try and figure out a way to say that like, this was just like something we both needed, that we were both working on and needing. And I was just like, well, no, like
it's my fault. I'll take it's full Lisa. Ownership.
Lisa's got big girl things to do that involve potentially dying in righteous tornado fury.
True.
Or celebrating great glory and then just, you know, getting more photos and videos of things that she can sell to people.
Absolutely. I am taking a week-long chasecation, as they call it, leaving next Friday, the 21st. So if you follow me on Twitter at SheIsLisaMarie or Instagram also at SheIsLisaMarie, you should be able to see any good shit I find. I'm going, I think right now the target is Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Hell yeah.
So
I've
far
been through
away.
Sioux Falls. Sioux Falls.
Oh shit. But that's what we're doing. So so that's enough of like the
all
administrative
right, our
stuff.
Podcast.
Let's get to the podcast. Okay, guys. I am covering something I wanna say. It was Afton that messaged me about this. If it wasn't her, it was someone else, but it's been rattling in the back of my brain for forever. It's been rattling in my brain for forever. So people always say history repeats itself, and that's absolutely true. But when it comes to fashion, it 100% happens, right? Mm-hmm. So you've seen a lot of 90s era clothing making a mean comeback. I'm talking like gross, ill-fitting jeans, gross shorts, ugly baggy shirts, crop tops, and more. I think I even saw today, like this morning, a picture of Seth Rogen with no beard, which was traumatizing, but worse yet was the outfit he was wearing. If you need to Google that picture, if you haven't seen it yet, Andy, I fully anticipate you needing to do it right now. So the one thing I haven't seen come back just yet, and it's probably coming, or maybe it has happened and I'm 35 and no one wants to show me, is the one and only butterfly hair clips. So,
oh no,
yeah. Wait, what are you knowing? The picture of Seth Rogen?
No, I was commenting on the butterfly hair.
The butterfly. Okay, well, you should also know about that Seth Rogen pic, but don't do it. It hurts. It hurts like it hurts. It's like seeing a family member dead. You're like, this isn't right. No one should have to endure this. So, there were actually two versions of butterfly clips, both are worth talking about in this segment, but there was a more popular one, which was like the small plastic butterflies, like I would say about the size of like your, I don't know, like a thumbnail, maybe a little bit larger, and you would just clip them in your hair. And then there was also a larger, more obnoxious one that you could get, was just like a metal butterfly for your hair. Now, the most popular one was absolutely the smaller plastic ones because you could just like pull your hair back and like twist it or do a quick little braid. And then towards the back of your scalp, you would pin it in place with a little butterfly clip. And I don't know how this became a thing. And it's deeply upsetting across the board.
I'm seeing a picture of the first one is Jennifer Aniston with butterfly clips. And it's amazing that when they're in Jennifer Aniston's hair and you're still like, man, and it even looks bad on her. And she's like, yeah, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. I know. That was what I thought today too, doing my notes for this. I was like, how can someone so beautiful make something like still not redeem?
I know. Like they're just like, we're going to put this in the best possible place and it's still going to be really, really bad.
It's going to be awful. The smaller ones that you see on Miss Aniston were by and large more popular than the other ones. And I would say those are probably more ubiquitous with 90s fashion, right? And so you could get them anywhere. But I distinctly remember buying them at like Claire's. And I think Icing may have been more of a 2000s thing. But you could go to any kind of Claire's or, you know, girls accessory store like that and just find the shit everywhere. And they would come in large enough quantities. You could bedazzle the shit out of your hair with like butterflies. You could just have butterflies coming out your fucking skull no matter where you wanted with these things. And so all of your favorite ladies of the 90s, like, most definitely wore them. You got Sarah Michelle Gellar. You've seen that picture, I bet. Britney Spears, Kirsten Dunst in an incredible picture. If you look at Butterfly Clips, her picture
shows. Here's the
thing.
I scrolled into that and I saw that and I was like, there's no way that Lisa's also going to see this picture.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But I was literally going to say, this picture of Kirsten Dunst is unreal. Her hair is just is just like a fucking salad. Like, it's just like just loose leaves of lettuce just like on top of her head.
So the problem with the butterfly hair clip thing was that it also came in conjunction with lots of smaller ponytails, which was big in the late 90s. You would have like I said, you'd have your hair kind of wrapped up in small little rows, almost like cornrows, but like either twisted or braided clip. And then whatever was in the back made a tiny little ponytail. So it looked like you were just a brunette firework walking around, like exploding butterflies and upset dead ends. And it was unusual. The problem here is that even though we thought they looked cool, then they did not. And as you said, looking back at pictures of people and celebrities wearing them, it's all trash. Like we were trying, it was as if we were trying to look like we were 11 years old forever. Now, that being said, I probably was 11 when these were popular, yeah, which is a very unfortunate time.
Just
to
be like,
so
I'm
tragic.
11, I'm 11, and I have something that is going to fully establish my age no matter what.
Yeah, but if you're fucking like Jennifer Aniston wearing them, there's a picture of Joan Cusack wearing them, Gwen Stefani. It's just like, ladies. I mean, I guess a fashion trend doesn't see any age. It just seems so juvenile compared to what, I don't know. But I don't know. Hairstyles for both men and women in the 90s were absolute trash, but this was probably one of the most extremely regrettable decisions made by the general public of the entire decade. We made a lot of bad decisions. Butterfly clips, probably number three, two or three of
I think
the bad decisions of the 90s.
It feels like the reason that they're so bad is it's like, you would think that like most things in your hair are like there to accentuate the hair or something like that. But this is just like, look at this fucking nonsense bullshit that's in my hair. Like, and that's all it. It's like, it's not even about like making the hair look good or like cool. I mean, it kind of like styles it a little bit and shapes it and everything. But the thing you're going to see is just that there's these little butterfly things in your hair.
Yeah.
And like you said, It is very juvenile. But again,
it's
I feel weird
juvenile.
Talking about women's hair in general like that. It feels weird for me to say it. So I'll let you say it instead.
Well, okay, but hold on. But instead, looking, let's say you were the same age, 11, 12, 13, when this was going on, when this was a popular trend. Do you remember girls in your grade with them? And did you think, that's cool? Or like, that's regrettable?
I think probably like at that point, I was just like, that's Jamie, and that was it. Like, I didn't really, like, I was, like, so terrified of women, of girls, I should say, at that point, like, that I didn't really have much thoughts on it. I was just like,
There were some girls, the cheerleaders could always pull off the butterfly clips, though. I tried, though, in my, like, knockoff shirt and JCPenney's, like, clearance section, and then butterfly clips and, like, braces. And light blue eyeshadow. Ooh, wee.
Oh my God, that
was
braces
tragic.
Territory, wasn't it? Man.
It was. I had braces from like seventh grade to like, I think part of senior year. It was intense. My teeth were fucked up.
Yeah. No, so. I remember I had them for quite a while too. I don't remember what years they were, but man, Like, it's crazy how much mouth restoration was a part of your life for so long. I mean, not everyone, obviously, but at least for me, I know they definitely was, so.
Yeah, so that's my thing, butterfly hair clips. I think, I'm pretty sure it was Afton asked me to talk about this, like, a year ago. I finally got around to it, Afton. I'm a bad procrastinator.
It is funny when we say things like a year ago, and I'm like, the show wasn't even new a year ago, which is wild. Like, the show was, like, almost a year old a year ago, which is crazy. Yeah. So anyways, I see on this day stuff from last year and everything like that. And so it's just weird to reflect on those times. So awesome. Well, hey, I kind of decided to diverge a little bit because we talk about movies a lot on this show, usually for our court cases. This year we did, this episode, if you haven't noticed, like, my energy is just like, I think it's so high that I'm just like, my mouth is going faster than my brain is, so just the words are just coming out, and afterwards I'm like, did that make sense? And I realize after the fact it did not make sense. So
I think the real question is, how many Ecto Coolers before the show did you drink?
Oh, Ecto Coolers, I mean, I got some Monsters and a little bit of just like a lot of cocaine, you know, just cocaine. Normal. So I don't know what caused it. So anyways, so we're doing some other things today that is not movies, aka magazines. So I thought, you know what, let's do movies, because I'm going to be, because I talk about video games all the time, and I'm going to be talking about video game-esque things later. So I decided to cover this because I just saw it. I was looking up, like, bad movies and everything like that. And the crazy thing was it came up on this list, and I was like, this movie's not necessarily bad. It's weird, and it was just so obscure that I was like, you know what, let's bring this to the table, because it did have a very lasting impact my memory when I could remember most of the plot of it immediately.
Okay.
Despite the fact that I think I've seen it maybe once, maybe twice. So in 1996, on July 4th.
Hell yeah.
There was a movie that was released it was released on July 3rd. There was another movie released the following day on July 4th called Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, however, was not named Independence Day because we've covered that in episode one of this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just to give you an idea of, like, this movie's facing up against something like the worst release date of all time, it did come out the day before Independence Day. So, needless to say, it may have gotten overshadowed a little bit. And despite all of that, it actually did fairly well in the box office, considering. And this movie, I'm going to just tell you, is called Phenomenon. For those of you who that doesn't ring a bell, it was a 1996 romantic fantasy drama film featuring John Travolta. And I completely forgot about this. Here's the weird thing. I love Pulp Fiction. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, like top five or whatever. And yet I don't think about John Travolta as like one of my favorite, like a high caliber actor. I just don't think of him that way very often. Mm-hmm. I just don't think about John Travolta ever. And so it's just when I saw this, I'm like, do I hate John Travolta? I'm like, no, I don't hate John Travolta. Why would I think that? And I just was like, I don't really have an opinion on John Travolta, which is crazy. So I did want to play just to give you a quick sampler of this. So John Travolta, before I play this little clip, in this movie, basically he's 37 years old and he's living in California and he's a mechanic. And so he's like, he's a super nice guy. He's super chill, has a lot of friends and everything. His best friend's Forrest Whitaker, so you know he's fucking crushing it. One of his father figures, who's a doctor that's very intelligent in the area, is played by Robert Duvall. So again, he's crushing it. He's got great friends that are famous. They're not the actual actors, but you know what I mean? They're played by the actors. He's at the bar and they're getting drunk and hanging out, and he walks out of the bar and all of a sudden there's this brilliant shining ball of white light, that grows close to him and hits him in the head. And he suddenly passes out, like he gets knocked down or whatever. So he comes to and goes back in the bar. Nobody else saw this brilliant white light that was just like super bright and everything. And they figure out pretty quickly that something's going on, because all of a sudden it becomes very clear to everyone that he is like ridiculously smart and like very quick-witted, and he's just reading books all the time. And then I think when they really realized that something might be wrong was whenever he started doing telekinesis.
That's a bit like, of an indicator.
The books part was weird. The telekinesis was weird. But then, but then that's when I started to think maybe something was really wrong. So this is something where he is so brilliant, and he loves in learning and reading, and he wants to share all this. I just remember it was this weird, frustrating film of watching this person who is just so into being smart for the first time and being able to learn and stuff like that, and is so excited about learning and sharing knowledge that he learned with other people. And all they give a shit about is hey, tell me about your tricks. Do your tricks for me, special boy.
Do the thing where you move that cup again.
And that's what a lot of the movie was like, hey, you're really smart. And then, oh, you also have secret magic powers that you use on different things. How did that happen? How did that work? And it just ends up being, it's kind of like being an overly famous person of being barraged by people who, don't give a shit about you as a person. So anyway, here's a quick clip, because at one point he does, he's just messing around and doing his superpowers for whatever reason. He's just listening to these number stations, these codes, Morse codes and stuff like that. And he just decodes this code instantly. He knows immediately what it was. And apparently it was actually from a military base. And so he got in a lot of trouble for decoding it, because he decoded it and then sent a joking response just for fun. And so the FBI came and got him. And so they kind of interviewed him and asked him a bunch of questions to figure out if he was legit, because they wanted to do a bunch of tests on him, because apparently when you suddenly know how to do telekinesis and have healing magic powers, some people want to know why that is. And so here's a quick thing as they're interviewing him.
Name as many mammals as you can in 60 seconds. Ready? Go. 60 seconds. Well, how would you like that? How about alphabetical? Aardvark, baboon, caribou, dolphin, eel, hippus, fox, gorilla, hyena, ibex, jackal, kangaroo, lion, marmoset, Newfoundland, ocelot, panda, rat, sloth, tiger, unicorn, varmint, whale, yak, zebra. Now, varmint is a stretch, so is Newfoundland. That's a dog breed. Unicorn is mythical, eel, hippus is prehistoric, but you aren't being very specific. Now, where are you, Bob?
Anyways.
I was gonna immediately be like, unicorn, sir.
But you weren't very, very specific. Because the whole thing is just this guy keeps doing these quizzes and he's just being like a really sarcastic dick about it every time. It's just it's more specifics, Bob. Come on. So essentially he, in multiple different times, he does all this really cool stuff for his community and does all this really great stuff. He heals, like I said, he could actually start healing people and was helping people. And he would somebody was in trouble and he lassied them basically. There's somebody lost at the barn or something like that. So he'd, run out and get him. And then basically he passes out at one point and wakes up and they're like, hey, so it turns out you got a deadly brain tumor and that's what this has all been about. And he's like, oh, cool. So my magic powers is cancer. So
Hold on. Let me back up. You're saying the bright light caused it, or the light was a result of the cancer?
I'm pretty sure that the bright light was a result of that. I think is what the inference was that his brain tumor had unlocked some things in his brain, part of his brain. And that's always a thing people say, you only use 10% of your brain or whatever. That kind of a thing, I think, is the inference here. So they determine he's got a 1 in 500 chance of survival. And science is just hey, can we just He doesn't want to stay because they want to because he's just no, I just want to go hang out with my family. And then the doctor's you're mentally unstable and we're going to we're going to have your brain submitted for science. And so they keep him under lock and key and he finally escapes. He goes and spends times with his best friend as well as his girlfriend. He's like, hey, I'm dying. And she's like, oh, no. And then he's dead the next day. It's a crazy series. If you've ever listened to 90s Court before, you'll realize that I'm really bad at explaining movies. But this is really just an insane series of events. Here's the thing. I say all of that. I would watch this movie again. I haven't seen it in a while and I want to watch it again. I'm going to find out where this is available because it's actually a pretty good movie. So phenomenon, John Travolta, the end.
Oh my gosh. Can you please cliff notes everything in my life from here on out? Because that was amazing. That was really good, Andy. I want that to can you cliff notes the Bible for me? I think it would be really good for me.
So then anyways, there's light. You're like, oh, sweet. And then there's plants and animals and all this shit. And then,
oh, shit. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, then there's some wars, and that's the it. That's it. That's the end.
This looks really, this like, oh, see, the thing that's killing me is that the only picture that's really available for this, no matter how hard you look, is just a picture of Travolta with one hand outstretched.
Holding out
and, like,
magic
that's
powers,
it.
Doing the force. Yeah.
It's like, I have, here's my cancer power. Here we go. Ready?
Ba.
But wait, wait, wait. So they're saying that the brain cancer unlocked telekinesis?
Yeah. I mean, he could also heal people, which is actually more fucked up. Telekinesis, I could see that because, like, here's the thing. That's the,
oh,
I mean, there have been other things, Lisa. There's been other fictional works that have involved something allowing humans to access the rest of their brain and give you magic powers. I mean, it's normal stuff. That's first grade shit, Lisa. I don't know what you're so upset
true.
About.
My bad. My bad. My bad. I walked right into that one. Phenomenon. Thank you for sharing that. I want to go watch it too. Yeah. Too bad. A little big movie called Independence Day did kind of wreck its shit. But yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with some poll results from last week, and then we're going to hop into this week's court case, and we will catch you on the flip.
I love you.
Hey, 90s Court listeners. Lisa here. I'm here to talk to you really quickly about a product that I absolutely love and I've used every single day for years and years and years. Let me hit you with a couple of scenarios. Perhaps you're miserable because your partner snores like crazy. Or maybe you're a night shift worker who can't get proper sleep during the day. Or maybe you live in a really loud and busy downtown area. There's hope for you, and it comes in the form of sleep phones from Acoustic Sheep. I'm not lying when I say I've been using them religiously for years, and they're the sole reason I'm not a crazy person suffering from insomnia. Sleep phones are just ultra-soft headphones and a headband that are extremely bed-friendly. Side sleepers can also rejoice, for you can comfortably block out the sounds of the world while getting some soothing, noise-free sleep without hurting your ears. They even have wireless Bluetooth options, so you don't get tangled up in cords overnight. I personally connect mine to my phone each night and listen to some white noise to drown out my partner's snores. I'm telling you, I've gifted them to night shift nurses, in-laws, basically anybody with ears that values a good night's sleep. They even have options now that come preloaded with binaural beats or deeply relaxing ASMR content. So you can find something that's just right for you and maybe not even have to connect to your phone at all if you don't want to. Andy and I both use these now, and we'd love to help you get some rest too. Go to sleepphones.com and use the code 90scourt to get $10 off your order of $39 or more. That's sleepphones.com, and the code is 90scourt. Sweet dreams. Welcome back from the break. Check it out. We are going to not say a bunch of nonsense like I always want to. Instead, we're going to get to the meat and potatoes. Well,
we've elected
the,
to
the
say,
appetizer.
We've elected to say less words.
We're going to say less, fewer words. We're going to instead talk about the poll results from last week, okay? The Nutty Professor versus Flubber. Let's just take a break for a second. We expected this to go a very specific way, and it kind of did.
I'll say this. I didn't have any expectations. I just didn't think about it. It was after covering it is the only time that I actually thought how it might go. But yeah, it surprised me. It surprised me very much.
This is insane. We've got Nutty Professor versus Flubber. Facebook 51-49 Nutty Professor. Twitter 52.6%-47.4% Flubber. Instagram 51%-49% Nutty Professor. So you have written here math 50-50.
Well, not anymore after the IG.
Oh no, my bad. I see these are the yeah. I see. Yes.
I didn't know what the Instagram. I don't always know what the Instagram ones are. Lisa does. So it was 50-50. But Instagram with its one vote. So that's how big of a deal it is, gang. This was one vote. More
one
for that
vote.
And technically by the time this episode comes out, if Facebook, which is still open, has changed, it could have technically gone the other way. I frankly am happy that it went this way because I did cover Flubber, but I do think that you made a mistake if you voted.
That's fair. There have been things I felt similarly to.
Yeah.
So Nutty Professor by a hair.
Yeah.
By a hair of Nutty Professor won.
Obviously, a lot of Robin Williams love, obviously, you know, and it's a lot of stuff
oh,
like that.
Of course.
I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, I've covered a couple Robin Williams things that I've just been like, you know, it was, I mean, I love Robin Williams. He's a terrific actor and everything like that. There's sometimes certain particular movies I'm just like, eh, that doesn't hold up as well. So
hard pass. That's true. This is one of them. So that's it for the Polish Jolts from last week. Yeah,
that was a fun episode. I'm really the past couple ones have been really fun, and I'm really excited about it. This one, yep. Honestly, I'm pretty jazzed about it as well. Ba-da-ba-ba-da! Ba-da-bum. I forgot to mention that something came across my desk, which I honestly don't do every time anymore because, I don't know, it's just...
Just switch it up, Clodfelter.
I like to keep it all... I like to keep things fresh, you know what I mean?
I hear that.
Just keeping them fresh. And so we're going to be covering a court case this week that we thought... Because we like to mix it up every once in a while. So we do movies like every other one, pretty much, gang. And sometimes we like to throw in a curveball that is so random. like you know, like stores we'll cover every once in a while. Or, you know, or certain actual physical toys. This time we decide, you know what? Let's do some fucking magazines.
Hell yeah.
And so I picked one of my favorites, and I suggested another one to Lisa. I did give her carte blanche to cover something else had she wanted to, but she's like, no, I'm going to cover this. And so we're taking Nintendo Power versus Nickelodeon Magazine. So I have decided, as you might suspect, to cover Nintendo Power.
Yes.
Which actually, I'll say this, as both a Nintendo, like a video game freak and a Nickelodeon freak, it's actually not that obvious, I suppose. But I did go ahead and decide to do Nintendo Power, and I will be presenting first.
Hell yeah.
Nintendo Power. The magazine series from the brand Nintendo, as hard as it is to believe, that is what the magazine is for, came out in August of 1988. And you're thinking, Andy, this is 90s court. I'm like, yeah, it is. Well, like, unfortunately, sometimes things happen in an earlier year, and then they go through the entire 90s and some of the 2000s. So this is a magazine.
Suck on those eggs.
Yeah, so suck on a considerable amount of eggs, friends. So August 1988 until the present. They said, you know what? We've got this thing called the Nintendo. So, like, let's make a thing about it. Like, people seem to really like these games, huh? People are playing with Power now, so we need to make a magazine for them. And so they started making them. And it is one of the raddest things ever. I still love them. And when I saw... I'll get into it in a little bit when I'm talking about going through the archives. Oh, my God, the archives. If you guys...
I bet they were amazing.
We'll go over that in a little bit. But so it ran from 1988 until 2012. So that's 24 years for those of you mathematicians out there. And then in 2017, it returned with a podcast. So.
Oh, dang. That's
apparently
a cool way to do it.
There is a Nintendo Power podcast that exists currently. So maybe you check that out, too. The show started out as a bi-monthly magazine. Which, it's one of those weird things where if you search what it means to be twice a month, they will say bi-weekly. If you search, bi-monthly. If you search what it is to be once every 2 months, it will say bi-monthly. And so if you're wondering, hey, aren't those the same words that you just said, Andy? Yes, they are. So when I say bi-monthly in this situation, I mean it was once every 2 months, so every other month. But then in 1991, they busted out the Super Nintendo, and they're like, this motherfucker needs to go every month. And so they did. So, like I mentioned, luckily, the savior of this court case, because there's really, it's just like, there's just certain products, and we've discussed this, Lisa and I have discussed this best, there's certain things that there's just limited information that is interesting to talk about on certain things, because you can't talk, I can't go through and just be like, and here's issue number 47 from 1994. And here's page 40, like here's page 4, here's page 7, here's page 8. I can't go through every page of it because there's a million issues. So luckily, archive.org exists.
Oh, all right. Shit. Let me
and
go
so
real quick.
If you just type in, basically, I think there's other things in there probably on that site too. But if you go type in Nintendo Power Archive, you should be able to find at least, I was able to find at least the first 89 issues of the magazine. So you can literally click on an issue number, and then it'll allow you to go through every single page in the magazine. And it's super, it's perfect color, perfect illustration. You can see everything. It is, It has been a joy. I will say that. I've just, in the time that I've been able to look through this, it has been a joy to walk through some of these. Just seeing these games that are such amazing, like, memory nuggets to me. Like, I'm currently looking at page 84 of a magazine with Jungle Strike, which is an amazing game involving helicopters. So there's just so much stuff you can find on there. So if you do get a chance, like I said, search Nintendo Power Archive, and you should be able to find a place, archive.org, that has them on there.
Okay.
So the first ever issue of this was for Super Mario Brothers 2, which came out in 1988. However, again, not 80s court. The first issue in the 90s was January of 1990, and it was a Batman issue, because apparently there was a Batman game for the original Batman on the NES. The front cover of the issue was just a big picture of Jack Nicholson as the Joker, and then a black dark figure of Batman swooping in behind him. And honestly, that's kind of what crushed it with these magazines, was that they did such a good job of the artwork on the front pages of everything, like, mm-hmm. because they knew we're trying to sell these to kids, and like, kids aren't going to be like, let me read like some of the highlights of what this is going to feature. Like, no, this one's got fucking Donkey Kong on it. I want this one, you know?
Yeah.
And they're not only just like the pictures of like the video games, but they would sometimes have, I guess this was a popular thing that they did, like homages to. The very first one ever was Claymation of like Mario from Mario 2. And they had a Bowser in the background and all these different things. And so several issues later, like in future issues, they would do similar things to that with front covers when they didn't want to do a specific one. Usually if it was like an anniversary or something like that, they would do an homage to the original one. But other ones, it was super cool, because usually it's a brand new game that you've never seen. Particularly, mm-hmm. this was huge when like the Super Nintendo was first coming out. So a lot of the 91 issues and 92 issues, it's like you're getting to see this amazing like actual game footage on the front cover of these things, and a lot of the scenes that they would depict, you know, were super rad, and they did special artwork for them. And the N64 cool. ones were just next level whenever they got into 96. So, just to go through some of the different ones that I saw when I was looking through them that I absolutely loved, like the Super Mario World one, that was one of the first ones when the SNES came out, Link's Awakening, that old school one, Mario All-Stars, Super Mario RPG, Mortal Kombat. Like I said, there's just too many to list, so I don't want to go through every single one of them that amazed me.
Yeah. So
pretty much every issue, when you'd open it up, would immediately have a two-page ad for the Super Power Club or something comparable. That was what it was called whenever Super Nintendo was out, was basically having a subscription to this was called being a member of the Super Power Club, because that's a cool thing to be a part of, rather than being like, I subscribe to the magazine. You're like, no, I'm a member of a fucking club. I'm the Super Power Club. I not only have power, I do have superpower, and I need you to know that. And that is why, once a month, when the mail comes, it is the best day of the fucking month. Because these things, like I said, compared to other magazines that existed, whether as a kid or an adult, like, I'm an adult and there's like 12 magazines lying there, I'm grabbing the Nintendo Power just to look at pictures. Like, because it
yep.
is, because the way that they do, do you have the archive pulled up, by the way?
I did have it just now. I can go back to it
okay.
and see. Which one were you looking at?
Let's see. I clicked on a different one. There's, shit. Yeah, there was just a lot of them that were super good. I don't remember exactly the one I was looking at. I wasn't referencing one for you to look at specifically, just so you could kind of see examples of, like, when they're talking about a game or, like, going through walkthroughs, talking about different combos and stuff like that are in there. It's not just, here's some text on a page. They'll have super colorful backgrounds that fit the video game. They have different blocked off parts. There's not too many words, and they have them kind of blocked off in different places, so it makes it much more readable, especially for me, someone who admittedly, like, I can read well and everything like that, but like, I don't have the patience for reading, especially as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
They make it a lot more accessible, because these are like 115 pages of magazine. And so,
Andy,
what?
Andy, the episode I clicked, the magazine one I clicked on has Track and Field, which was like my favorite game.
Which issue is that?
This is, oh heck, oh heck.
Everybody oh, heck in the audience is going to love this. I'm guessing it's a super early one because it's Nintendo.
It's.
You're fired. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Where do you see it on? Oh, here we go. 42, Nintendo Power issue 42, November 92.
They have Track and Field from that one in 92?
Yeah. Weird. Okay. I don't know if this was like a later version of Track and Field, but I fucking played this shit out of Track and Field.
I was gonna say, the front cover is Super Star Wars, which is interesting. Just a weird... It's funny in this one. Some of the issues, I should say, are kind of weird because it's like, when it's not like a Nintendo brand thing, they'll just have like, this is just an actual, like a picture of Darth Vader's helmet. Like, it's not like our cartoonized version or something like that. It's just like, here's a picture from the movie. The video game won't be like this, but you don't know that.
True.
So as far as a lot of the returning segments, like the things that came in the game. So the biggest chunk, and I think the best part of the magazines, was every single issue would have walkthroughs, breakdowns, previews of game levels, tips and tricks. And here's the thing. When you would pick up a new video game, like let's say Mortal Kombat, let's use that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know, like, back, forward, AB, you know, like the different things? How did you know how to do fucking, or whatever the fuck the move was in thing, or get over here, you know, different things in the games? Was this is where it came from. Like, a lot of the times, because otherwise, like, you're just dicking around and pushing button combos. Like, you might say, oh, I got it from my friend Billy, who told me, oh, that's how you do that, or that's how you do his finishing move, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Billy either got it from Nintendo Power, or Billy got it from his friend who got it from Nintendo Power, because that was the resource that you had in the 90s. You didn't have Google. You didn't have looking it up online. It was fucking Nintendo Power. Or sometimes, you know, for certain games, they would also have the actual, like, walkthrough game guide, which they would make those two later. Like, for example, I had that for Super Mario RPG, as well as a couple of the Zelda games.
Awesome.
And Pokemon, of course. Let's see. But yeah, so these were huge because it was introducing you to stuff like aspects of games and everything like that that you literally just couldn't find anywhere else. And so if you wanted to be cool and beat the shit out of people in Mortal Kombat, like, that's where you got it from. Or, you know, a lot of the times they would have stuff on video games that aren't out yet and they're just kind of previewing them, especially when the new systems were coming out and they were previewing stuff. Like, again, it's like you're seeing graphics like in the N64 that were completely unheard of. So, additionally, secret codes / cheat codes. That was another thing that you could find sometimes. And here's the thing for me that I was feeling at when I was looking at this. I was like, that's so weird that they would have cheat codes in Nintendo Power. And I realized, like, it almost felt like when I was a kid that, like, it was something that was a secret that I wasn't supposed to know about.
Oh, okay.
But, like that the video game developers also didn't know about. So, like, here's the thing. I didn't think it through very much, but it's almost like this is like a hack. Like, I cheated. Like, I got in there. Like, the word cheat code always made me feel like I was doing something naughty. And, like, in actuality, like, they made the fucking game, dude. Like, nobody else could have done this except for the people who made it. And that just never occurred to me as a kid, apparently.
Because we are very Swedish children.
I know. But I was reading these cheat codes, and I'm like, I mean, why wouldn't they release, like, where they're from? It's not like they're supposed to be a complete secret. Yeah. So, yeah, and some of these you could get cheat codes for different things and different way to access things that literally no one else would know about unless they had this magazine. In addition...
You are, like, in the in crowd at that point, if you know that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And let's see. And, of course, I was always a big Mega Man fan, so a lot of, like, Mega Man episodes and stuff, they'd give you, like, strategies on, you know, the order to beat bosses in and stuff like that, which I know if you've never played Mega Man, you probably don't fully understand that. But, like, it's like a fucking impossible game if you don't know the order to beat them in, because, like, certain guys are just so ridiculously good unless you have the powers that you got from the previous boss and then the previous boss. And then you have that boss's powers and you have to beat the other guy. So, sorry, I'm a big Mega Man fan, too. I don't know if anyone out there. Shout out to our Mega Man Nation.
Oh, all everyone.
Shout out Mega Man Nation.
Is there a hand movement for that? There's got to be a hand movement.
There's not. We have a secret handshake, but thank you. It's in Nintendo Power. Sorry. They would also have answers to reader questions, especially later on. They would start to have, like, I think once it gained more popularity and they were making a lot more money, like, not only did the artwork improve, but, like, there were so many more fans that were writing in questions in addition to that artwork. And I'll say something, like, a lot of these kids' artwork was dope. I mean, like, and I'm assuming that some of these people also were not children, because I'm like, I mean, adults played Nintendo too, like, not a ton of them back then, but, like, they still were adults that played Nintendo. And so they'd have questions from, you know, from, they'd have either questions from readers, comments from readers, them talking about their favorite games, interviews with writers, developers, and stuff like that of different games. Pretty much every issue would have the top 20 games for each system, whether it be NES, SNES, Game Boy, N64. And later on, in later ones, they'd start having categories of games that they would list, like, top 10, top 20s for. And so you could, I don't know, I guess as a person who, when there are so many games out there, to get an idea of what is a high-quality game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard to know when you walk in there, like, do I want to buy Buck Bumble? And you don't, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know. I don't know why I use Buck Bumble as the example, but that's, like, one of those games that I'm always like, that is such a dumb, a dumb game. Do you remember Buck Bumble? You've
never
played it.
I've never heard of it.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up right now. Though.
Don't
shit.
Worry about it. It's for
too
like
late.
N64, but. And the big another big thing was comics. So. I've never been, like, a huge comic book nerd, but, like, when I was reading through these, like, they have some long-ass comics. I read, like, I was, like, looking through and flipping through. It was, like, a 15-page Star Fox comic, like, from the original Star Fox from SNES. And it's, like, it's nothing to do with the game. I mean, it's the characters from the game in a different adventure. So they have, like, people would write stories specific for the magazine for those types of things. Like I said, these had a ton in them, so, like, if you really were a more patient child and not Andy Clodfelter, you could probably sit down for hours at a time and read through these. I did not. I looked at a lot of pictures.
As you do as a kid, as you do.
As you do. Okay, so one thing I did want to mention, I'm not going to go over too much more on what's inside of them. I did see in one of the early issues during N64 being released, there was a special called Spot the Dot Instant Win Game, which was a collaboration between Nickelodeon's newest show, The Secret World of Alex Mack, Blockbuster, and Nintendo.
Oh.
It tried to explain to me how it worked. I couldn't fully understand, even as an adult reading this, so I'm not sure exactly how you knew if you won or not. But apparently there was a secret game piece that came with your Nintendo Power, and it would tell you, hey, watch at 7 p.m. Central Time on, you know, on Nintendo or whatever during Secret World of Alex Mack, and during one of these breaks, there'll be a Spot the Dot thing that'll come up. And you hold your secret piece up to the dot on the screen, and it's supposed to, like, reveal, like, if you won or something like that.
What?
See, and here's the thing. It says it's supposed to reveal a secret message. I have no idea if that's accurate. I have no idea how you actually won. However, I do want to go over the prizes because it was pretty fucking rad.
Let's hear this stuff.
Okay. And this is, again, like, this is how big it got, like, in the N64 era. Like, it was huge at that point. So there's 10 grand prize winners. You get a walk-on role in The Secret World of Alex Mack.
Oh, dude.
Including a trip for free, fully paid trip for four to Los Angeles. And also, you got an N64 with Super Mario 64. Of course, getting an N64 at that time, not super easy. Like, it was actually, like, you know, they have the forced scarcity that Nintendo loves to do of making it hard to get systems. And I say Nintendo when I should be saying all game systems, because currently you still can't buy a fucking Xbox or PlayStation, the new Xbox or PlayStation, anywhere. Because apparently...
You still can't?
They still are just forced scarcitying it. Sorry to those of you who do have them. I don't need to hear about the fact that you already have one. I am not really that interested in it. It's just one of those things when I think of it, and I'm like, huh, I wonder if those are if they've given up on the whole game of, like, making them scarce. And they haven't. They're still out there, so...
Damn it.
10,000 first prize winners, because apparently grand prize is different. So 10,000 first prize winners won one free N64 rental package. So for those of you who recall, in the 90s, especially in 96, renting, and like when you couldn't buy an N64 because it was super rare, you would rent it from Blockbuster. So I didn't do this because I didn't have a Blockbuster that I went to. But I do remember them having N64s at the rental places, and you could actually rent them. But the problem is some fucker would have it rented out all the goddamn time. Mm-hmm. And so you would get, for three nights, if you were a first prize winner, which is crazy to think that's number one, you get to rent an N64 and one game for Blockbuster for three nights. Wow. So a little bit of a step down for part two. And then second prize, 25,000 people won a single free issue of Nintendo Power. So went down a little bit near the end there. But
yep.
Anyways, so they had other giveaways. That was just one that was specific that I saw in the thing. And I was like, that was pretty fun. That's worth mentioning. So anyways, so they and here again, if you could buy the dumbest fucking game like ever that nobody ever wants to play or ever heard of, you will be able to find a walkthrough and like tons of detail about the game and everything like that in an issue of mm-hmm. this, because they would have something on every game that came out. Now I do want to go over posters, because this is the coolest and most awesome and lasting feature of this was the posters. So think about like, you're like, oh, I got my new Playboy. I've never owned that. So I don't know. Do they have like trifolds or whatever, like the big posters or like fold out like things? So Nintendo Power would have posters that would come with several issues.
Okay.
And so it would be like in the middle of the magazine, all of a sudden one page would fold out into multiple pages. Sometimes it would fold really wide. Sometimes it would just be a big trifold, like long one. But they had some amazing artwork, stuff that wasn't like, it's not like it was just, oh, here's the case for the video game or the cover or whatever, or the start screen. They would have actual like original artwork for these games that was super dope, like Street Fighter 2, Zelda Ocarina of Time. Oh my gosh, look up, God, I don't know if you're gonna look that up, but the Ocarina of Time one was so rad. Mega Man X, Battletoads, Super Metroid, Donkey Kong Country, Earthbound, Pokemon, multiple Pokemon, by the way, definitely had the Pokemon poster. It's so dope. Banjo-Kazooie, Star Fox, and Star Fox 65. Star Fox 64. Ninja Turtles, Super Smash Brothers, Super Smash Brothers Melee. Obviously, that was in the 2000s. Final Fantasy, Earthworm Jim, F-Zero, Buck Bumble. Yes, even Buck Bumble. I think that's why I brought it up, because I did see a Buck Bumble poster, and I was like, you know what? I will say this. I never played the game. I know that there's a song, the theme song to the game is Buck to the Bumble. I don't remember anything else, but I do remember it's like a hip hop rap when you turn on the game.
Never underestimate the power of a good jingle.
Mm-hmm.
It goes a long way, dude.
Which is apparently the reason that I remember fucking Buck Bumble. Mm-hmm. So anyways, there's just so many. Like I said, the posters are things that I had on my wall forever. I had, like I said, I talked to people about the fact that one of my favorite games of all time, maybe even my favorite game of all time, is Super Mario RPG for the Super Nintendo. And it is, they had a poster for that, and I had it on my wall for a very, very long time, and it's also on there. So anyways, guys, I love this magazine. I really liked having it, and like I said, it was something that was super exciting whenever it came in the mail. I didn't have it for like a shitload of years, but I had it for at least a couple of years, and so when I was looking through different covers, I'm like, yes, 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 yes. Because there were just so many good ones. And so, anyways, that's all I wanted to say. I don't know what else to say about it except it's dope. Nintendo Power.
Nintendo Power, goodbye. Baby. It has a power over you. Shit, man. It's awesome. I remember vaguely getting some. You and I discussed this briefly, that I had some of them, but you were saying that they were more specials. Is that right?
What's that?
Didn't you and I were talking about this. I thought you were saying that the ones that I had were more specials. Maybe the ones that were like specific.
Oh, no. Those are, so you were talking about, so there's player's guides sometimes where it was like you could get a full play, like you bought those separately where it was like a full player's guide. Like I said, like the Pokemon one, they had a whole Pokemon walkthrough player's guide and, you know, different things like that. So, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So on the other side of the magazine stand is where I land. And
I need to breathe.
There.
I just want you to know, I need to take a breath. I've never just like had to say words so quickly out of my mouth because I love Nintendo Power so much.
That's so good though. When you're so passionate about something, it comes out, and I love that. That's the true blue showing of a like proper 90s kid really amped up about something. So Nickelodeon magazine is what I'm covering, and it's one of those things that you always saw advertised so well and you just wanted it. I don't know if it was just me or if, I mean, but like the advertising was extraordinarily effective for me. If you were one of the coolest kids in the 90s, you definitely had a subscription. But remember, you had to ask an adult carefully to help you get it in that like commercial. in a very clever and cunning way to get them to pay for it for you. If I want to say that I had it for, I think, about 2 years in the 90s, in the late 90s. And I think it was more awesome in theory than in practice, but such is life. Like I remember being super stoked to finally get the subscription. I finally talked mom into it. And then I got it and I was like, this is cool. But we'll get into that. So the magazine itself, as we know it, began in the summer of 1993, but it actually had its true beginnings via Pizza Hut, where they released 2 issues in 1990.
What?
Via Pizza Hut. Yeah. So Nickelodeon magazine started there. I guess it was like a promotional thing.
Why was
they were
Pizza Hut the fucking dopest thing ever in the 90s? Like,
oh my
it's
gosh.
So crazy how good it was in the 90s.
It was like, are you my grandparent, Pizza Hut? And I was like, yeah, I am. It's like, I love you. Please send me birthday cards like we do. It's through getting your report card. All A's, you get a pizza. Or you are in the Book It Reading Club or something.
A personal pan pizza.
I was like, fuck yeah, I'll eat this shit out, personal pan pizza. So they originally published Nickelodeon Magazine every quarter, but then they moved to 10 issues a year. The publication was heavily advertised on Nickelodeon itself. Basically, the only network kids watched anyway, unless you were like one of those Disney kids or crazier yet, one of those Cartoon Network kids. But I think we were all in our own way Nickelodeon kids. So the magazine itself was just full of like the same kind of insane nonsense that you would expect from 90s era Nickelodeon itself. And so it was, I went through a few pictures that I could find. I just now, while you were talking, discovered the archive thing. It was like, oh, there's some Nickelodeon magazines on there. I literally watched for 40 minutes last night a man on YouTube who was not funny at all go page by page and comment on each on a Nickelodeon magazine. I was just like, this is the worst. Why am I watching this?
So it's like listening to me talk about Nintendo Power.
No, Andy, I could listen to you talk about Nintendo Power 6,000 times. I could not make it through this man's video once. It was truly atrocious. So it featured a lot of that nonsense, but one of the really like redeeming qualities of the magazine itself was they had a very substantial comic section like Nintendo Power did. This one had some good ones as well. A lot of recurring comments like Seen But Not Heard featuring a naked guy and a bear? If you looked up Seen, S-C-E-N-E, Seen But Not Heard, you'd recognize those characters instantly. Also, Underpants on His Head Man, which is pretty self-explanatory. He was a terrible superhero and his archenemy was Pants on His Head Man. I love this nonsense. Like, it actually is really funny to me. Wow. Roughing It, which was the little dog Zelda Von Gutters, who would you'd recognize the dog as well. The dog would show up in a lot of advertisements for Nickelodeon magazine. She was kind of like, he or she was kind of the unofficial mascot of the magazine in some ways. And there were tons more, like so many really good comic strips in there as well. So aside from the comics, the magazine also had lots of like completely bizarro off the wall articles, for lack of a better word. So like, what if the presidents, like the faces of the presidents on Mount Rushmore could skate, comparing Leonardo DiCaprio to Leonardo da Vinci? And like, it's like,
these are all very pressing and important questions.
Yes, that like a 7-year-old is like, Nickelodeon magazine, like Nintendo Power is like, here's something that you can use. It's going to make your experience playing a video game better. You're going to be a better gamer. You're welcome. Nintendo magazine was like, LOL farts.
I was about to say, I was like, I'm looking forward to the inverse of this.
Just farts. So they also had things that you could pop out, like door handle hangers that were like, genius at work or something. And like one that I actually found to be pretty innovative was like fake book covers or fake VHS covers. I saw one that was like a remake of Dumb and Dumber, but it was like smart and smarter. It was like, you know, how do you appeal to a 7-year-old and be like, oh, just, so funny.
Oh my gosh.
Whack. And lots of other like prankster ass shit that you could just use around the house. Like just you know, anything like that, you know. I don't know. There were some recipes too for kids to make, like slime cake or booger cake or fart cake or whatever it is they wanted to have you make that week.
Fart cake.
Let me tell you. Okay, here's a pro tip for parents out there. Here's a parent tip. My son, my eldest son, likes to throw fit every night before bed just because he doesn't want to go to bed. And the only way I can get him through it is to threaten to fart in his cereal in the morning. I'm like, if you don't stop giving me lip, I'm going to fart in your cereal in the morning. He's just like,
full stop. Is that actually a thing that you say to your children? And I hope the answer is yes.
If they're 100%, it's a thing. I use it every single night of my eldest son. And it makes him laugh. And then suddenly he's not mad anymore. I will never fart in my child's cereal, but it's a threat I actively dish out to make him laugh and get his ass into bed. So it works. So you've learned a little something secret, super special secret nugget on Lisa tonight on the show. Let's see. It was the perfect product for Nickelodeon in some ways because it helped make sure that the network and its programming was front and center at all times with the kids, even if they weren't watching TV. And when you were looking at the magazine itself, you were being shown all of your favorite characters and shows from Nickelodeon anyway. So like, it was perfect for the shows themselves too, because if they had a special or like a new character or a new development or something coming up, they could advertise that in the magazine as well. So also an incredible avenue for advertisers, because magazines were already something like 60% advertisements or something. But this time you could do it in a fun, truly ridiculous way, but to kids. So you could just do a lot of like food advertisements, lots of movies like coming soon to VHS, VHS kids. And I saw one for, I want to say it was Anastasia. I saw an advertisement for on the bottom right hand corner, you know, the call to action being, to be like, the call to action is like, own it, you know, June, whatever the hell, whatever year. But the advertisement itself was like a maze. Like you would have to, you know, find your way out of the maze. It's like, so they did unique things to draw you in and keep you engaged in a way that wasn't just terrible, like not Ronald McDonald style advertising to you, full stop. So even though the content itself wasn't super strong in terms of a publication, i.e. slime cake and shit, it at least encouraged some modicum of reading at a time where TV was king, right? So like you are reading about Leonardo DiCaprio, you are reading, like I saw some, they would have like the insert about like a teacher or something like that, you know, is to kind of make you as a child think about someone else that isn't a child for just a second, just a second. And so it was also extremely special to you as a child, because as a child, you don't get mail. Nothing comes in the mail for you, period. Unless it was like a birthday card from grandma. Unless it was a birthday card from grandma Pizza Hut. Sending you a little
when Pizza Hut mails you a personal pan pizza in an envelope.
It's still good because you know why? It's Pizza Hut and they make the best pizza, except for your local one, Papa Del's. Papa Del's. Oh, no one in the country makes better pizza than Papa Del's. Wow. Straight up. Pizza Hut number two.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to say. That is the worst take I've ever heard on pizza, and I love pizza. Pizza, it's great. I cannot believe. I know that's like half joking, but still.
No, it's. I'm not joking. Pizza Hut's amazing. I get their thin crust all the time. Oh shit! Like sometimes it's just all I can think about, and then I get it, and I'm like, thank God I got it. I eat one slice, and I'm like, I can walk away. It's like I spent $11 on one slice of pizza, and then I leave it for my family to be like, I don't like black olives though, and then they get upset, and it's a whole thing. Aww. So as I was saying, you get no mail as a kid except for that errant birthday card from grandma. So when the mail did come and Nickelodeon magazine was there and it was for you, you felt like hot shit. Like this magazine is yours and only yours. And trust me, none of the adults in the house want to read it anyway. So it is really like just for you. And you could sit with it for like an hour, immediately pop out all the little takeaways, all the weird door hangers and slime recipes, and then put it on the floor of your bedroom and then walk away and then throw it away 4 months later. like that's exactly what you do. I don't know about how you guys lived your life, but no, that's how I lived my life.
That was always one of those things where eventually, like, if I had any subscription to anything, eventually mom would be like, hey, I couldn't help but notice that, like, you don't really do anything with these. Are you sure you don't want to just cancel the subscription?
No, don't take the one thing I have away. No. Don't take it. And you're like, and then, yeah, I probably had it until I was like early teens or something and be like, okay, I can probably let Nickelodeon Magazine go. I've already kissed a boy. It's probably time to let Nickelodeon Magazine go. So it was discontinued in December 2009, only to be revived again in 2015, just to be shut down again 11 issues later.
Man.
I don't know why they would do. I mean, in 2015, if you're trying to start a magazine, that ain't the time, brother. 2015 ain't it. It's over. If you can't get, you should have just made a Nickelodeon Magazine app, and that would have been better than a, and certainly cheaper. Now, I will say this: thinking about a month of content work to make Nintendo Power versus a month of content work to produce one Nickelodeon Magazine, your magazine wins because yours actually produced content that was usable, digestible, proper, suitable, useful in any capacity. And then Nickelodeon Magazine was like, "Ah, real monsters, here we go." Also, buy Hercules on VHS.
I will say, like, it. Even though, because, like, that's the thing is that all of stuff in the magazine for Nintendo Power was advertisements without being advertisements, which I guess so. Versus Nickelodeon, they're just like, "No, we actually have to just say, hey, buy this dumb shit."
Exactly. And so, but I mean, I think by GAC. And so I would still say that if you didn't love Nickelodeon, if you never had it, you at least probably loved the commercial, at least the first 600 times you saw it, of like the mom waking up in bed and the, "Oh, I want Nickelodeon Magazine," you know, and it's like tied to her finger and like the kid like, "Call now, please," or whatever. And but it was a good movie, it's a good magazine.
It was a good movie though, too.
Nickelodeon Magazine, the movie, coming
Orange Cassette
to your magazine racks. I guess magazines are still made.
Kind of.
Yeah, I guess they're still made. I can't imagine they're like huge.
I guess.
It's not something I've thought about in a long time. Who buy? Like, the only time I ever even consider a magazine is if I'm in the airport. That's the only time I consider it.
I was gonna say, I feel like mainly they're made for like just people to just pick up and read and not purchase.
Yeah, like you have time to burn in the airport, and you're standing there, you're like, what is Jennifer Lopez up to these days? You're like, I'm bored. And you close it, and you go get on your airplane. That's it. That's what magazines are these days. But they were in Cinnabon. Oh, shit. So good. But that's Nickelodeon Magazine. It holds a special place in the hearts of many 90s kids, as does Nintendo Power, and I'm eager to see how this pans out. Very eager to see.
Rad. Yes, rad. As well. Me as well. I've been able to catch my breath, and I want to thank everyone for staying with me. And Lisa, thank you for your presentation on Nickelodeon Magazine. We're going to go ahead and close up the episode.
Let's do it.
First off, if you are wanting to vote on this and tell us what you guys think, why don't you check us out at 90s Court on Facebook and Twitter. You can get your votes in there. Facebook, you can get it in pretty much all week. Twitter, you're going to have about 2 days to do it. Or, if you'd like to get another vote, Instagram, 90s at 90s.court, you can check us out there, and you're going to have to get your vote in day one, and only day one, or never again.
Never again, and I will not check it again, and you will lose love for me.
It's true.
These are all true facts.
Also, if you just want to join in on the show and support more of this great content that you've heard here today... I don't know why. I think that was the first time in history that I've ever like mocked ourselves during the show.
Damn, dog.
If you want more of this great content like this, check out patreon.com/90sCourt. There you can find more bonus content, wonderful other things, get shout outs on the show, and more importantly, help Lisa pay for more cats. And
How about storm chasing?
And
no more cats,
chasing
please.
Tornadoes. and of course, check out our merch store. Obviously, I think we actually mentioned this week, we finally got our Anomalous Fascination merch up there. And by ours, I mean mine, but I always refer to myself as R or we when I'm talking about Anomalous Fascination, because it is weird to talk about yourself.
True.
But yeah, we've got Anomalous Fascination merch up there. And of course, all the wonderful 90s Court merch as well. And that is at tpublic.com/user/the90sCourt.
Hell yeah.
And as always, please take the moment to leave us a nice 5-star rating and review on iTunes and Podchaser.
And Podchaser.
I did say it in loud because Lisa was right. I did capitalize the word and it does have to be shouted. So,
it does have to be shouted.
Absolutely. Anyways, thank you all again for joining us for another wonderful episode of 90s Court. Lisa, do you have any parting remarks before we depart?
It's a me, a Mario.
It is. It's true.
Remember, 2-week break. We'll be back. Hopefully I have some storm stories for you. If not, then I will. Then Andy's just going to continue to do Mario sounds. Oh my gosh. We'll see you guys soon.
Stay rad.